I think the last thing you heard on the other side was somebody saying we got a hot one, and it seems that there is one bearing on engine 203 that has overheated, and I don't know what they'll go through now, but I guess they'll check it out and re-lubricate it, and we'll continue on with the story after we find out. But here we are, we're stopped here now along the way just for routine check, and as I said, it seems like there is one hot bearing. The bad bearing was on the tender 203. It's been replaced now, and everything's being loaded back up on the engine for hopefully taking on off for Trilby. We're about to come up on St. Joe Crossing, so be prepared for a big loud blast of the whistle. And after we cross the St. Joe Crossing, we're going to be stopping to check that journal again to make sure that the bearing that's placed is okay. Here it is, opening day of the fair, and at the middle of the day it was a beautiful day. Now it's turning very cold and windy and starting to rain. It seems like we remember the fair as having bad weather almost every year, although I'm sure it doesn't. But the old saying, it's always fair weather, it's hard to say before the whistle blows. It's always fair weather when the county fair comes along. Everything's checking out okay. You probably heard Lloyd in the background say that before he couldn't put his hand on it, and now he could touch it and not get burned, so he's satisfied everything's all right now. On the train, remember Ronnie Peel with his Dead Man's Gulch. Well, right now we're running through Dead Man's Gulch, which may be a fairy tale, it may be true, but as Ronnie told it on the train, there were several people killed in here when they were making this cut. There was a very high hill. Instead of going over the top of the hill, they made a cut.
I don't believe that sooner or later we're going to have to face up to public transportation and learn to live with it. Unless we have a heck of a... I'm like everybody else. I keep thinking, well, our flat is really, really strong, you know? They've always come through with something. And they have, okay? Well, they'll pick up some way to break this train of hole.
I think they'll probably come up with a way to get electricity. You know, I think there'll be a way to generate electricity. But I don't know about the petroleum.
Well, one of the things there, they're coming up with some very good batteries for automobiles, where you have an electric-powered automobile. I read the copper sign, copper mechanic, anything of this sort, you know. I just read the piece about some of the exotic batteries that they're working on.
You got them to hold a long charge or something?
Oh, yeah. They're much more efficient than the old lead acid. And they'll hold it much longer. And they're much smaller and they weigh less. There's only one problem. You got to keep them up about 400 degrees to keep them hot. Of course, they're working.
That would be a problem.
Yeah. But they're working on it. They're constructing it.
Well, what's the railroad use? They use not an acid battery. They use a caustic battery.
Yeah, it's a nickel cadmium.
The ones that are on the railroads, on the switch boxes and things?
I believe so. I know on the cars, they're called Nicad.
Yeah, that's nickel cadmium.
Yeah, they're real large for their capacity, but they last a long time.
And they're rechargeable.
Yeah, they're rechargeable.
Was Lloyd McGee and I talking about energy use a little bit before that. The tape recorder wasn't on, and we were talking about what's going to happen to this rail bed. That's how we got started with having to come up with energy efficient methods of transportation. One of the things Lloyd was saying about energy efficient transportation were that maybe rail beds could be used for diesel electric buses, and I was thinking of like diesel electric as in locomotive, where you generate the electricity with diesel. And he said no, he meant with running electric while they were running on the roadbed, and then when they got into the town, pull the pantograph down and then run on diesel, and that way use electricity for the major part of the trip and diesel fuel for the interurban areas, and save diesel fuel in that manner. Sure is nice to look out through these woods and see these creeks running again. They probably haven't been running in a long time. Here it is winter time and it's dry season, but we've had a very wet one this year for a change. A lot of people are cursing it, but it sure is good to see the water coming back up. Mean what he's doing with his arm going round and round?
That's the backup signal on if he's doing it wrong. And they're controlling, and they're wrong on it.
Well, what does it mean?
He's doing is it, the signal that he's giving is means the train is starting, but it's supposed to be shoulder height. It means back up, and that means go ahead. See, we're backing up when the relationship begins.
Lloyd's getting off to check the journals again to see if the bearings are okay. You heard him talking there, I think, about my question. My question was, what was Ronnie doing with his motion of his arm? And he said it was a backup signal because we're backing up because the engine is heading backward. down into Blanton now.
Over to the... These crosses, when you're running two trains together like this, one train goes through and everybody thinks that's it.
Could it? The people on the automobiles are likely to go ahead.
Yeah.
Over to the east of us is Lake Blanton. Coming back up again. It's been dry for quite some time. Picking up a little with this wet winter. And I think rather unfortunately, they're starting a development along the shores of Lake Blanton. I'm told that the way it got permitted was that it had been drawn up as a subdivision back in just before the turn of the century, I believe, and because it was already platted way back then, it's grandfathered in and it's been allowed to be subdivided, although you could look out there and see that the places they're working shouldn't have any homes put in them because of the wetness, and the likelihood of future wetness is even greater than the present, perhaps. Of course, then what that'll lead to is a drainage, putting in canals to keep it from being too wet, because in our humanitarian efforts to make sure that the people that have bought homes in this wet place will be preserved from inundation, we will go in and drain off the lake to make sure that their homes are not ruined. It's a sad day. You're going to hate to see it.
What do you think about a subdivision in that lake out there? What do you think about the subdivision in the lake out there?
I was going to ask you, I'd heard that there was a subdivision for lower income people. Is that correct?
Yeah, I hadn't heard that, but it fits in with the funeral pattern because the one in San Antonio is built on the lake bottom, the new one that they're building out there, and the one in Dade City, you know, actually got flooded out. Yeah. It was built in the lake bottom. All I heard was that it's being developed in a subdivision and that the reason that they're allowing development here, even though you can see the water up on the place, is it was subdivided way back before the turn of the century. And it was already platted, and so they're grandfathered in.
Well, as we leave Blanton, it's uncanny that the first crossing we come to, there's a school bus, as there was in San Antonio. And just a short ways away is the new State Road 41 crossing, and there's another school bus, this time a converted one that's been painted red. It appears that it's a fruit picker's crew bus. As we're leaving Blanton, it was nice to see Ray Thomas, who was formerly agent at Trilby with the Atlantic Coast Line and Seaboard Coast Line, presently in Dade City. He was there to wish us well on our trip to Trilby. Leaving out of Blanton is some of the most beautiful country. People who have never been to our part of the state just find it hard to believe that this kind of land exists in Florida, with the rolling hills. Over here on the left, a beautiful peach orchard in full bloom. If we had a nice sunshiny day, it'd be even more beautiful, but even with the gray skies, it's nice. And it's just a real loss to the area, for this railroad not to be able to continue to operate and allow future people to have this backwoods view of Florida. Maybe someday we'll have it back again. It's a dream and it probably never comes true, but it sure would be beautiful if it could be kept intact as a bicycle path or a hiking path or something of that nature for future generations to enjoy Florida as we knew it, and probably before my time, even more beautiful as those who came before us saw it. Everywhere we go, there are people standing along the side of the track taking pictures for what they believe once again to be the last train from San Antonio to Trilby. And this time it probably will be, for sure, except for the work crews that will be coming in afterward to pick up the track. Something that has just been done was called sanding the flues, I believe. They put in sand through the flue tubes to clean out the accumulated soot. We're getting very close to Trilby now. Off to the west or northwest is the old silo
keep on the back road from land with the drill beach. Each offer the creek laid out in it as a subdivision.
From I think I can to I thought I could, and I believe pretty soon it's going to be I knew I could, because it's going to be rolling right into Trilby. Well, this has been a real pleasure. I know there probably were better things to do today, like getting out and working for a living, but I decided to take a day off, and I really enjoyed it. When I was not able to use my tickets to take the last run on 93 and 94, I really didn't anticipate ever having another train ride on this track. And the Orangeville came along, and I've ridden it several times, and now here I am on the last train, and it's been a real pleasure. Well, the whole operation is now drawing to a close. Seaboard Coastline Diesel engine number 1644 is finally hooking up the last of the operation. It's hooking steam engine number 11 up to the baggage car and two Pullmans. And that'll be the final operation before they'll be set on the siding and waited to haul out to Tampa and to Webster.
The Orange Belt equipment will be going from Trilby down to Owensboro, then back up to Wildwood. Then it'll go back south to Center Hill and across to Webster. Number 11 and its associated cars from Frank Pollock's will be moving from here to Tampa for storage.